We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It has been an eventful, sometimes tragic day around the country where people are being injured in protests or riots. Here, we are seeing a show of unity at the state capitol. And I'm Jordana Green. Thank you for joining us today on WCCO Radio. The breaking news, as you heard in this past hour, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights has announced it will begin an investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department on a civil rights charge. A civil rights investigation. This is big news. We will flesh this out further in the show. We are trying to get Department of Human Rights Commissioner Rebecca Lucero to join us. We know she's still in the press conference. Hopefully she will join us to get all of our questions answered. This is big. This is big. This is progress. It has never been done before. This is new. And we can't wait to hear more. Our own Susie Jones is over at the Capitol, where a massive sit-in, a beautiful and peaceful sit-in, is happening. Susie, set the stage for us. What does it look like out there?
Well, it is a sea of young people. It's hot out here. A lot of people are in the beat-down sun and have been since 1 o'clock. This event goes till 4 o'clock. Jordana, it's a student-led event. It's called Sit In to Breathe, and it is a sit-in reminiscent, as you and I know, being a bit older, of the 1960s sit-ins in the South where demonstrators sat at restaurants that were discriminatory toward people of color, and it was obviously ended badly then. At this point, though, people are still coming, Jordana. It's I would say thousands and thousands of people all over the front Capitol grounds on the cement, on the grass, under trees. So it's quite a sight to behold.
I don't hear any chanting, Susie. Is there a speaker? And what are people talking about there?
Well, what happens is they will have chanting. They will have a speaker. And then they'll take like 5 minutes of silence. To remember those who died at the hands of law enforcement. They read the names aloud of people, in addition to George Floyd, but others as well. Mm-hmm. I'm actually across the street, Jordana, and I'm in shade because I have been in the beat-down sun, and I just thought I'd step away for a minute and talk to you. However, it's very passionate, very emotional. These kids mean business. They are demanding a rebuilding, a transformation of what's been going on for so long.
I know they probably haven't heard, of course, now about the state's Department of Human Rights that's going to launch an investigation into the MPD because they're out there with you and they're performing their civil disobedience and protesting, as is their American right. I'm sure that will be a nice step in the right direction. So you've been there from 1 to 4. Are they having any speakers that you can share with us the message?
Yes, several speakers, several poems were read as well. It is the demand for change, and that, as I have heard throughout the day, I was at another event today when, after Jamar Clark died, Minneapolis police had this grand plan to better train officers, different de-escalation tactics, reviewing use of force, instituting this sanctity of life element into the work that they do as a way to change the culture of the police department. And clearly, all these years later, we have this happen again.
Yeah, yeah. And when you spoke to the protesters, what are they talking about today? Are they moving on to change? Are they still honoring the life of George Floyd? Like, are they talking about having more protests? I mean, what is the feel of the protesters? What is their mission today? What is their conversation like today?
I would tell you that this sit-in that was led again by students is an opportunity for young people to come together, to band together, and be part of the change. And that I've talked to kids from Minnetonka High School. There are many, many Caucasian people at this event. I talked to a group of students from Minnetonka High School, a mix of black and white, and there is solidarity in this. Mm-hmm. There are not mm-hmm. just black people calling for change. There are white people calling for change. And there's acknowledgement that that will have to be a part of the solution, is that everybody has to have a stake in this, an investment in this, for equality.
And an acknowledgement of the problem. I mean, it yeah. sounds like everybody's coming together finally saying, yeah, we got a big problem here. We all know it now. And the governor is, you know, with this indication today about the human rights probe, you know, the civil rights probe, hopefully is saying we're going to go and root it out. So I can't wait to hear the reaction of the kids that are there when they hear about this, because this is a positive step in the right direction.
It is. It is. And I think that's what they're looking for. They also obviously want Jordana to have those three other officers arrested yes. and charged with aiding and abetting. So there are more demands. Some people are asking for the abolishment of the police department, or more specifically, there was a thought that the Minneapolis Police Department could stand down and the Sheriff's Department could take over duties for them to begin some of this internal work. Some of it might include, Jordana, just so you know, that Minneapolis police officers don't have to live in Minneapolis. So many of them live mm-hmm. in rural parts of the Twin Cities, you know, up north.
That's right,
north
like Brandon. Oakdale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oakdale. And so mm-hmm. if the idea being that if you don't live here, you don't really care. And they want people that are from Minneapolis to serve as officers. They want people of color to serve as officers. You know, but it does go back to funding. It does, because as you remember, mm-hmm. Chief Arredondo asked Minneapolis City Council for, what, I think 400 new officers, and they gave,
I think so.
They approved 14.
Right.
And so
right.
if it becomes an issue of money, that will bump up against that too going forward.
Susie, thank you for being there. Please do get some shade. It is a warm day. Thank you for telling this story for us so we can envision it in our minds. And we'll check back with you a little later, dear.
Okay.
Stay safe, Susie.
Bye-bye.
Thank
yep,
you.
Bye.
It's warm out there. She's got to drink water. And so do all of those folks having that peaceful sit-in. It's a beautiful thing. It's almost like the 70s. Unfortunately, sometimes it feels that way with the way we treat black people in this country. But it's having a sit-in. It's a peaceful protest. And that is your American right. I love to hear people exercising their American rights peacefully. When we return, okay, so you want to move forward. What can you do sitting in your home in quarantine? You know what you can do? You can read. You can learn. You can watch movies about the civil rights movements. We have asked our movie reviewer, Tim Lammers, to find some movies for us that we can watch on our couch that may open our eyes. It's an easy thing to do, and we can definitely do this. Find out what he recommends next. Make no mistake, we are not talking about going to the movies or thinking about anything other than the somber things that we are thinking about right now, but movies tell stories. Movies, documentaries, we can learn from all of this. We can do this, and movies can help us learn and grow. So Tim Lammers is joining us now to talk about what kind of movies we should be watching in this time to educate ourselves about what we can look at our past, how we have gotten to this place of civil unrest, and then also maybe what action we can take in the future. Tim, I'm so happy to have you on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Jordana. Look, you know, my mentor in this business, the late Bill Carlson, you know, he always told me about, you know, films, obviously they can entertain, but they can also inform. And I've always remembered that, you know, movies, yeah, I mean, you can get lost for a couple hours, but there are certain films out there, past and present, that I think people should really be watching at this time.
So, and there's also a free offering, by the way, that I know you wanted to tell folks about from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, you know, it's a movie called Just Mercy. It's a true story about this young lawyer, Brian Stevenson, played by Michael B. Jordan. After he graduated from Harvard, he had his pick of jobs. He could have gone to work anywhere, but instead he headed to Alabama. He defended those who were wrongly condemned or convicted of crime or people that couldn't afford representation. And what he did was he took on the case of Walter McMillan, played by Jamie Foxx. In 1987, Walter McMillan was sentenced to die after being framed for a murder of an 18-year-old white girl. There were stacks of evidence to prove that he was not guilty, but still there was a systemic racial problem going on down there. So he took on the system, and it took a lot of appeals, but eventually in 1993, the conviction was overturned. So Warner Brothers did a great thing here. They're making the film free on all streaming platforms for the month of June. Which,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it is fantastic, considering that the film was in theaters in December. It was one of those films I thought was going to be an Oscar hopeful. And, in fact, Jamie Foxx was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor nomination for the Screen Actors Guild. Usually, those translate into Oscar nominations, which, to me, Oscar nominations are a great thing when they can, you know, give awareness to certain projects. That would have done a tremendous service to this film, but it didn't happen. So the film sort of went away, and it came out on video. It was either April or early May, late April, early May, on streaming video and DVD and Blu-ray. And now, you know, they're doing a great thing by offering it for free as really an educational tool.
I love it. Just Mercy. And you just go on whatever your streaming device is, plug it in, and you can
absolutely
get it for free?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, okay. If you there is something weird going on with Apple TV Plus right now. They seem to be charging for it still. But even if you have Amazon, normally they would charge you a rental fee, but they're not charging it.
Sure.
Redbox.com, you know, Fandango. Okay. It's supposed to be free amongst all streaming services right now. So just go to any one of those, or, you know, if you Google the story, you know, you could probably find out too where else this thing is, again, streaming for free all month long. But again, what a wonderful thing that that film company is doing. Hollywood's responding in different ways to this. And I think this, again, the best way, you know, for younger viewers especially, educate people. Education is so important. Mm-hmm. And when you can have a tool as good as, you know, that movies that a lot of people obviously have access to and can relate to, that's a great thing.
We watched in my house on your recommendation, of course, was it The Banker? Samuel L. Jackson.
There you go. I mean,
oh, we loved it.
Great film that is not only entertaining, but it is educational as well. It brings a story to light that you probably didn't know prior to that. Much in the way Just Mercy brings to light a story of a guy like Walter McMillan. And I have to just go back to that film quickly, Jordana.
Yes,
you know, obviously, this is a narrative portrayal on the big screen, but it becomes really powerful at the end when we get to see the real Walter McMillan, you know, as a free man out of jail. What an incredible thing to experience. So, yes, so definitely see films like Just Mercy and see films like The Banker because, yeah, I'm so glad that you caught that one.
Yeah, and for those who don't remember The Banker, it is about a young black man from the South who is trying to buy real estate, but real estate is only sold to white people, so he finds a white partner, and he amasses a huge, but even without this white partner, how he is successful, yet the system is stacked so against him being successful because he's black, and how he does his best to overcome. It's amazing. It is about how hard it is for black professionals to get ahead, you know, to borrow from banks. thanks and to get credit. And I just, we learned so much and we were very moved by that movie. Again, it's called The Banker. And Tim, I just want to get to your other recommendations because people have time to be at home and watch movies. And you have two other recommendations, Selma and To Kill a Mockingbird. So Selma, of course, we're familiar
Selma
with.
Selma is from filmmaker Ava DuVernay, who has really spearheaded this movement in Hollywood, you know, bringing about films about social injustices. One of them is Selma. It was really her breakthrough film. It was about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's march from Selma to Montgomery in 1965, and of course that ended very violently, but it led to some significant victories for the civil rights movement. Ava also directed a documentary that is available on Netflix called The 13th, which is an in-depth look at the prison system in the U.S. and how it examines the history of the country's racial inequality when it comes to sentencing. Also, she did on Netflix, it's a dramatic series, a narrative series called When They See Us, and that's about the Central Park Five. So she's really spearheaded things. And those two are free on Netflix. And then if you want to see Selma, you can rent it for pretty cheap, like a $2.99 rental on all the streaming services.
Mm-hmm. The When They See Us. I remember that. I remember the Central Park Five, and I remember the Central Park Jogger. And it was just, that is such challenging subject matter. That's one I haven't watched with my kids because it's a little triggering for me.
Uh-huh.
But it's I feel like they need to see it because it's a powerful story and just so unbelievably devastating that
and
that could go on.
I can't remember who directed it, but there is also a documentary about the Central Park Five. So, you know, that's the thing about when you just see a film like a Just Mercy or Selma or When They See Us, hopefully what it's going to do is spur you to, it's going to make you curious, and it's going to make you want to go online and read more about this.
Yes.
Or in the case of Just Mercy, Bryan Stevenson wrote a book, and get that book and read that book. So that's also where these films are very beneficial. It's going to spark your curiosity and ultimately, again, learning more. That's a great thing, you know, especially in this day and age. We need to be educated more.
Tim, great to talk with you. And thank you for changing your segment this week to be in the spirit of what we've been talking about, what we've been suffering through, and giving us some useful tools. Tim Lammers, of course, brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorney seeking justice for the injured, MinnesotaPersonalInjuries.com. Tim, I hope you are well, healthy, safe, and happy, my friend.
And I hope the same for you. And we will talk on Friday.
Possibly. Yes, absolutely.
All
thank
right,
you, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate the time.
Have a great week. Stay safe.
You got it. I'm going to watch it. Just Mercy. I am absolutely going to watch it. And then I'm going to seek out more movies like that. And Tim mentioned, you know, movies like this spur your curiosity. You want to know who the real people were. You want to go read. But movies like this also start conversations with whomever you're watching. And it makes you realize, wow, I cannot believe that they couldn't get money for a mortgage. And I cannot believe that he couldn't get a loan. He was so smart. He did well in school, and he you know, he had some seed money even. And it's how the system was stacked and is stacked, excuse me, against Black people in business, Black entrepreneurs, is eye-opening. And it makes you realize privilege. It makes you understand how the color of your skin gives you certain advantages. And movies like that truly help in that way. It's 3:29. When we return, we're going to speak with psychologist Tali Vang on how to deal and how to stay united and move through grief in this challenging time next. Welcome back. Jordana here. Thanks for spending some time with me. Paul is still on vacation. He will return next week. David is at the helm. And this is the time at 3:35 every day where we do a breathing exercise. We have been doing these breathing exercises during the COVID pandemic to sort of, you know, keep you grounded, just give you a break, and help calm your anxiety. Since the death of George Floyd, I just feel like we need something different. We have had moments of prayer on the show in this space to honor George Floyd and to all of those suffering right now. And I'm thinking that's what I'd like to offer you, at least during this difficult time. And I ask for your assistance. If you have a prayer that you say every day, I'd love to hear it. Please send it to me at jordana.green@entercom.com. I will happily read it in this space on the air. But I offer this for you today. So start just breathing, calm your breath, and I'll share this with you. I pray for your strength to be renewed in me, a boost of faith to overcome my fears, and a splurge of your power in my state of powerlessness. Help me get back on my feet once again and run the race that is set before me. It's a prayer for strength. We could all use that now. We could all share some strength right now. So we'll breathe in some strength and breathe it out for the rest of the community. And we will then move on to our next guest. But I'm serious. If you have a prayer that you say every day, I want to hear it. I want to share it. I think moments like that are necessary during these very challenging times. Joining me now is psychologist Dr. Tali Vang. She is from Hennepin Healthcare, and she joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Dr. Vang, so happy to have you back on the show. Thank you.
Hi, Jordana.
This time of grief is so challenging for all of us. And I know that so many people didn't know George Floyd, yet they feel grief anyway. They feel grief for his loss. They feel grief for our community. They feel grief for, the city, the burning of the city. They feel grief even in the fact that things are not going to be the same again because we are awakened to wrongs that have been committed against others in our community. And grief is a hard thing to grapple with. When clients come to you and patients come to you dealing with deep grief, how do you start working with them to help work through it?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's really important is really understanding the context of us as a society right now. And to bring into context, we have been dealing with a global pandemic, COVID-19, for what feels like forever, and also have been under stay-at-home orders for several weeks. So our anxiety and our stress and our feeling unsettled was already built up so high. I think of it as a glass cup, and we were getting filled to the top. And this tragic event in Minneapolis with George Floyd really set us over. Now, I'm not even bringing in the context of the history of what the Black community has been dealing with before, but just even in our more immediate context, we as a society have been so emotionally rattled. And so a lot of what I see going on is intensified fear, intensified anxiety and distress on top of everything that's going on, which really sets us out of our ability to react or think in ways that maybe we would normally react in. Creating space for discomfort is harder to do right now because we had so little space beforehand. So I think bringing that into context is something that is really incredibly important. And then to move on from there, Jordana, I think it's also important to remember right now, because we're not able to really tap into that part of our brain that allows for more flexibility, more understanding and compassion, we need to take a step back and just recognize this is fear. This is anxiety. This is stress before we act on some of what our emotions are telling us. So I think that's really important. And I want to say, Jordana, that I think you do the mindfulness sessions, and I love that. And there's one that I would recommend to the public right now, and that is loving kindness. And so I don't know if you have you done the loving kindness meditation?
I haven't. I can't wait to learn a new one. Okay. Hit me. Yeah, this is great.
I would just go on YouTube, and I would YouTube loving kindness. It's a meditation that helps us be mindful of how we impact others and how others impact us. And it reminds us to really stay connected on that, just on the heart level, I want to say.
Yes. Yes. God, we need that more than ever. Loving kindness. We need that absolutely more than ever. I promise that right after the show, I'm going to get on YouTube, and maybe we can do it on the show here together. I'll share some of it at 3:30. That's fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's wonderful. It's strange how we've almost not talked about COVID on the shows at all. Like, we have completely shifted gears. We went from doing shows that were 3 hours of covering COVID and every aspect of it to, I mean, this is probably the only time in the show for you and I that I will be talking about COVID. So I know this is still a global pandemic, and I know you're still dealing with patients that are suffering and healing from this. So on the COVID level, with trying to social distance or feeling guilty about not social distancing, what is your advice to people who then went to some of the protests and felt they needed to grieve together? How can we maybe not beat ourselves up about that?
Yeah. So my advice is always to really root yourself into your values. For some of us, it was the right decision to go out there. The risk, you know, you weigh the pros and cons, and just reminding yourself, whatever actions that you took, it comes from a certain value. And so don't get lost in feeling guilty, and please stay mindful of your symptoms, and please stay mindful of where you go and who you interact with. And for all those that continue to go out into the community with each other, I am going to recommend, I'm not a medical professional. However, continuing to keep in mind the hygiene recommendations and the social distancing recommendations are still in effect. I personally am just bracing myself, I think, for this whatever might come in a couple weeks. And I think there's a lot of people who are very, very anxious about that. And so really just keeping yourself rooted in your values is what I'm going to strongly recommend.
I like that. I think that's really beautiful, because I broke all my rules. I took the kids and myself, and we've been down to the memorial on 38th in Chicago twice already. And when I was there, I was so caught up in the moment. I was not properly social distancing, you know, and my kids would sort of pull me back a little bit. And I was like, okay, you're right. Sorry. Let's do this the right way. So I just feel a lot of empathy for people that are caught up in the moment, or, you know, are giving hugs or sharing food, because that's what people are doing down there. And I know that this is not going to be good for us in the long haul in the terms of COVID, but seeing people share grief, that's also a disease. It's also a virus, you know, that we have to get rid of right now. So we're just in a tough spot all around.
Yes. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And we have to assess for ourselves which values we want to abide by. And it might change on a daily basis, but I think we can't go wrong when we think of those things.
I love it. Dr. Tali Vang, thank you so much. And I cannot wait to look up the loving kindness meditation. And I will tell you how it goes next week when you come back on the show. Okay.
Great. Please do.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Vang from Hennepin Healthcare. Love that. Okay. You guys are already probably Googling it if you're at your computer. Dr. Tali Vang with loving kindness meditation. I'm going to work on that. Oh, right. Loving kindness. We definitely need more of that. When we get back, the Floyd family is having a march in Houston right now. They are marching to the state capitol. And we are hoping to get some comments from the Floyd family. And I also want to address the breaking news of the day, which Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced. The state's Department of Human Rights is launching into the Minneapolis Police Department. I will share some more information on that investigation when we return on CCO. Welcome back. Welcome back. In Houston, the Floyd family is marching to the Capitol as we speak. We are anxiously awaiting comments. We will bring them to you as they come. But some breaking news here in Minnesota. Our governor announced today at the press conference that you were listening to during Chad's show that the state's Department of Human Rights is launching an investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department. But get this. The investigation is not only looking into the death of George Floyd, but it's going to go 10 years back. It's going to delve deep into the MPD and review the department's practices for 10 years. Now, according to Walz, the state will investigate systemic practices against people of color in the police department. And I know this probably won't surprise you, but this is the first time the state has launched a human rights investigation into a police department. Walz said, we're not going to restore peace on our streets by having the National Guard show up. We're going to restore peace by addressing systemic issues that caused it in the first place. This is big, my friends. this is what can lead to structural change, because we had a system that allowed George Floyd's death. And right now, we have to start making change. Okay, there's an investigation. We can decide to start right now. So yes, the racism that exists out there or in the police department or in ourselves, we can say, okay, I am going to acknowledge this right now and make that change in myself. But for those unwilling to acknowledge it, the true racists out there that are still unwilling to see that this exists, the investigation hopefully will lay it plain, and there will be actual change because of this. So this is interesting and exciting breaking news. Again, we're hoping to get the commissioner of the Human Rights Department to talk with us more about how this is going to shake out. And I understand it was just announced today, so not everybody is totally clear on what the next steps of this are. That commissioner is Rebecca Lucero. She did speak at the press conference today, and I want to share with you some of the comments that she said.
As the commissioner of the Minnesota Human Rights, my agency is charged with enforcing one of the strongest civil rights laws in the country, the Minnesota Human Rights Act. And today, we continue our ongoing work to secure justice by announcing that our department is opening a civil rights investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department. Under the Minnesota Human Rights Act, it is illegal for a police department to discriminate against someone because of their race. When our department finds civil rights violations, we seek structural change. Our investigation will look at the Minneapolis Police Department over the past 10 years to determine if they have utilized systemic discriminatory practices towards people of color. We will review the department's trainings, policies, procedures, and practices. Now, the death of George Floyd is what launched this investigation. George Floyd should be alive. He deserved to live a life full of dignity and joy. And what we all know to be true, what Mayor Fry, Mayor Carter, the governor, lieutenant governor, and countless community members have repeatedly stressed is that what communities of color and indigenous communities are facing today is the direct result of 400 plus years of intentional decisions to create and sustain systems, policies, and processes that have resulted time and time again in systemic discrimination and oppression. Minnesota has some of the worst racial disparities in the country. I say it all the time. And it's across the board. It's in housing, employment, education, and the criminal justice system. These disparities are rooted in intentional decisions that keep Black and brown community members from living full lives, these full lives of dignity and joy. That's why this investigation is different. Unlike the other investigations, which are critically important, this is looking at the system. This is not about holding people personally, criminally liable. This is about systems change. Today's announcement is important, and I need to acknowledge that the call to action for structural change is not new, which has been stressed repeatedly and cannot be stressed enough. Community leaders have been asking for structural change for decades, working for it, bleeding for it, and dying for it. They have fought for it, and it's essential that we acknowledge the work and commitment of those who have paved the path to make today's announcement possible, and all of those who will continue to do the work in partnership to make these changes. The Minnesota Human Rights Act is a powerful tool. We have this tool in our state intentionally, and it's there to help address systemic racism and discrimination. And we're using that tool today, as we do every day, to break down policies and practices that lead to illegal discrimination. The law boldly exclaims, discrimination threatens the rights and privileges of the inhabitants of this state and menaces the institutions and foundations of democracy. That was written over 50 years ago, and it still rings true today. Hate and discrimination cannot be part of the fabric of this great state. We can and must choose to do better. We're making this announcement today in part because we need your help. It's, of course, going to take all of us, community, city leadership, police, every single one of us to move forward. This is a moment in time, and we have to grasp this. If you have any information that can further our investigation, we encourage you to contact us by submitting information on our website. That's at minnesotamn.gov/MDHR or by calling our office at 651-539-1100. All of us are called to do everything we can, not just to prevent future deaths, but to end the systemic racism that is leading to all of these outcomes throughout Minnesota. We are deeply interconnected and we need each other. Thank you very much.
That was Rebecca Lucero. She is the Department of Human Rights Commissioner that is leading this investigation, yes, into the death of George Floyd, but also the past 10 years of practices at the Minneapolis Police Department. This is amazing and unprecedented. There has never been a human rights investigation in the state of Minnesota this way before, and it is extraordinary. We will keep you posted more on that. Hopefully we'll get a chance to speak with Rebecca live. But again, these are developments that hopefully, God willing, will move us as a state and a humanity forward. When we return, Jimmy Fallon was on last night. The late night shows, some of them have returned. I normally don't watch Fallon, but I tuned in last night, and he gave a moving monologue about how he can do better as a human being in this racial divide in this country. Then it's time for phones. I cannot wait to chat with you. We didn't get enough time yesterday. So calls at 418 at 651-989-9226. I'll be back after the news.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.